When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah, woo! It's a party! That's right. I didn't get to enjoy the party because the stinking Giants took all my attention. I'm going to go home now and go after the show and go watch the party. But the New York Yankees, which was a foregone conclusion. All you crazies out there worried. I had to listen to the afternoon drive show talking about when would you be worried about the division? Blah, blah, blah. This is what happens when you actually throw a Yankee starter out at those Baltimore Orioles and not a guy who they relegated to mop-up duty in Marcus Stroman. As the Yankees take down the Baltimore Orioles, Cole throws 6 2/3 shutout innings and looks every bit the part of an ace, and it's amazing to me. It is amazing to me. That same guy. Now, is the stare down of the umpire a little bit much? Yeah, maybe. But that same guy who has that same kind of bravado out on the mound, he has a presence to him. How does that same guy end up being afraid of Rafael Devers? And I'll never understand that as long as I live. I just don't understand it because that looked like an ace on the mound last night. And that wasn't against the Oakland A's. That was against the Baltimore Orioles, who they could very well likely see come Saturday. But this Yankee team, and look who's behind it offensively. Giancarlo Stanton, who has been as clutch a player as they have had, comes through in the big game to secure the victory. He gets the home run off Burns, who I will admit the Yankees caught a break in how the Baltimore Orioles went about handling this. The Baltimore Orioles knew what I knew and what any of you should have known if you had any doubts that the division was over. And that they're getting ready for a wild card series. And so they don't want to push their ace starter. Although, 65 pitches? He was absolutely mowing the Yankees down, other than the mistake he made to Giancarlo Stanton for the home run. But they're not going to push their starter because this game didn't mean anything because it's already been set. They are the top wild card. And the Yankees are the division leader. And they're a magic number of 2 away from being the number 1 overall seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the American League. And so I just want to start there because heading into the season, it's easy to say it now, and especially after the start and the way they got off to that big start and they were playing unbelievably well, and then there was that month and a half or so of really just terrible baseball followed by average baseball. Now at the end of it, followed by pretty good baseball, which everyone seemed to have forgot for 2 days. That the Yankees have actually played very good baseball over the last 2 months. But when we go back to the start of the season, everybody thought the Baltimore Orioles were going to win this division. Everybody. They had to make up 19 games, as the great Sal Licata pointed out over and over again. How is this team going to make up 18 games? How are they 18 games better? Then just Juan Soto, not enough. Oh, well, it was enough. A healthy Judge who hit another home run in this game that if you watch it, Judge didn't think. Judge knew he didn't get that ball and thought for sure it was an out. And yet it still carried over the wall for his 58th home run. The guy is an absolute beast. And this Yankee team, for all the talk about it, for all the hatred about it, for all the nonsense about it, right now, are 2 wins away and 1 win and 1 Cleveland Guardian loss away from being in as good a position as they possibly could be. Oh, they give away wins. Oh, Clay Holmes. Oh, all of it. They are about to be in as good a position as they possibly can be heading into the postseason. And right now, you look at this team, the last 2 nights prior to last night aside that everybody was up in arms about, they are clearly the best team heading into this postseason. Clearly. And as they celebrate last night for this division title and they will celebrate home field advantage throughout in a couple days. There is no one better. It doesn't mean they can't lose, because there are holes in this team. We know them. We talk about them. That's what we know exactly what they are. They are the same holes they've been for a long time. Defensively, I don't know how good they are. They're prone to the mistakes. Here's the one thing about this team. Do we trust them? And I know so many of you do not. And with good reason. They have been unable to, namely, get past the best team of this generation, the Houston Astros, or the most consistent team in this generation, the Houston Astros, who have held them down at every turn. Yeah, you mix in a Tampa Bay Rays series here and a Red Sox series there, but we know what has kept the Yankees from winning a championship, and it's mainly themselves. So as I head in, I'm as confident as ever for many reasons. One, they're about as healthy as they've ever been. I know the loss of Nestor Cortez is a tough one for the bullpen, but what you've seen over the last few weeks with the starting pitching and what you're going to see in this postseason, hopefully, is that right now the starting rotation is healthy. Cole is back to being an ace. Rodon has had a very good year. Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil, those four, which is all you'll need in the postseason, you might only need three in the first ALDS series, they're as healthy and as good as deep a rotation as we've had in a while heading into the postseason. The bullpen, the back end of the bullpen, Weaver has been excellent since being moved to the closer. Canely has been excellent all year. Hamilton, we saw Hill last night. Even Clay Holmes got in the mix. And again, just remember, Clay Holmes, 8 innings, 0 earned runs in his career in the postseason. This team right now with this lineup is as good and as healthy heading into the postseason as we've ever seen. And let's be honest, part of this is the competition. The American League isn't very good. I am not concerned about the Baltimore Orioles because they won the regular season against the Yankees. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Could they lose to the Orioles? Absolutely, they could lose to any team. I'm not trying to tell you they can't lose. But I'm supposed to be scared of this Orioles team that's been under 500 for half the season? This Orioles team who has one starter and really one good pitcher, the bullpen stinks too? A lineup that's dramatically underachieved? All these young, super budding young superstars who Rutschman hasn't had a good year. Gunnar Henderson hasn't had the same second half that he had the first half. Or who else am I supposed to be afraid of? The New York Yankees right now are the best team in the American League, and they got to pop champagne last night. And the one question now, and the funny thing that I thought about this game, is that Verdugo hits the home run late in the game. And it means absolutely nothing. But right now, you heard before the game from Aaron Boone, and you know right now it is a battle for left field. And I'm sorry, Yankee fans, with every passing day, and not even just the home run, I'm still in the Dominguez should be the left field camp. But it's getting harder to just think it's ridiculous to go the other way of Verdugo. I mean, Dominguez has been better offensively, and he's hit a couple home runs here, but he has not done anything of significance, really. I mean, does he look good to you? It's not like he's come up and been the same player he was for the 8 games last year. If that player were here, I don't care. I don't care if he dropped every ball and kicked it back into the infield. If that player were here, that player's not here right now. That player's not here right now. And I think they're probably looking for any excuse to give that to Verdugo. And I don't know if that home run is enough, but you have to be fair and honest about it, Yankee fans. We can scream about Jason Dominguez all we want. And we've seen Verdugo, and we know what possibly the ceiling could be for Jason Dominguez. The fact of the matter is, and whether you want to say he should have been up here earlier, which I don't necessarily agree with. Like, I was clamoring for it. I'm talking about a week. Like, honestly, there was a week and a half, where he came back from the oblique injury and started to hit. He came back from the oblique injury towards the end of July, I believe, and then struggled for a while. Like, there was a legit week and a half where it was warranted to bring him up. Are we really going to blame the organization and say, oh, he should have had, what, a week full of reps? Are we saying that Jason Dominguez needed a week extra at the major league level to learn how to catch a fly ball? But we are where we are. And right now, moving forward, it's a difficult decision, and you're probably going to get a mix and match moving into the postseason. But that's really the only question mark right now. The bullpen is locked in. I feel like you pretty much know the roles. The starting rotation is locked with the loss of Nestor Cortez and with the continued struggles of Stroman. You know exactly who the four starters will be in the postseason. I have confidence in all four of them. And it's going to come down to if they play well, like every other team in the postseason. Derek Jeter said it. It's the absolute truth. The best teams get there. The Yankees are the best team. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. The best teams get there. The hottest teams win. And this Yankee team has an opportunity as they wait for whomever. And it feels like, with the way the Tigers are playing, it feels like it's going to be, for the wild card, it's going to be the Astros and the Royals, as the Twins completely are falling apart. So it's going to be the Astros and the Royals in the wild card series, and it's going to be the Orioles and the Tigers. And the Yankees would get the winner, assuming they are the one seed, the Orioles and the Tigers. And that is going to be a fascinating series. And right now, when I ask myself, like, to me, I heard the conversation earlier in the day in the afternoon about Baltimore and Houston. That's not even close. I know sometimes I talk that I want to see Houston, and I do because I want revenge. But which team do I feel more confident against, or what team scares me more heading into a postseason series? If you're honestly a Yankee fan and you tell me you would rather see the Astros because you've won 6 out of 7 in April and May, that you would rather see that team come into Yankee Stadium and you'd feel better about it than the Orioles, who are banged up, who've played miserably. The Astros have been one of the better teams in baseball since June and worked their way back to this position. The Orioles stink for the last 70 games. And because they've played relatively well against the Yankees and the Yankees have lost the regular season series against them, that means absolutely nothing. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. If you have more fear playing the Baltimore Orioles than the Houston Astros, you're nuts. Now, the question of Orioles-Tigers is going to be an interesting one. The Tigers are the team that scares you because they're the story of Major League Baseball right now. What they've done here and the way they've played to get their way into this playoff is remarkable. I mean, they were trading pieces away. They traded Flaherty away. Imagine if they had him. But overall, the Yankees won a division title that nobody thought they would at the beginning of the year. And I know, oh, you're the Yankees, you have the pyro. That's just the truth. The truth is, everyone believed that the Baltimore Orioles were going to win this division. And for all of their trials and tribulations and all the faults that they have, they're another couple of wins against the Pirates away from being in as good a position as you could possibly be in. And the first time in a long time, heading in with the number one overall record and knowing that every series will start in the Bronx. It's time to do it now. 888-808-1019. Let's take some calls here. Stu in Brooklyn. What's up, Stewpot?
Yeah, well, it's about time we celebrate, right?
It's about time we pop the champagne.
Yeah, Aaron Judge with number 58. Yeah. And Gerrit Cole looked like Gerrit Cole. And they played very well. And the Giants, well, let's get to them for a minute. Why can't they get the ball? What's wrong? They can't get the ball into the end zone?
No.
They have to settle for 5 field goals again?
Yeah, I mean, the coach settled for it a couple different times. The offense was unable to establish a run game. I thought the offensive line's been much better blocking for the pass blocking protection's been great. The run blocking, not so much. And, of course, I guess this is the first game where you really felt, although the spin move from Singletary on the 4th-and-1 made you feel like, hey, you know, I don't have to pay him $12 million to do that. But Saquon Barkley was missed in this game because he would have gotten something going. He would have had a longer run than 5 yards. I mean, the longest run they had was 5 yards.
And to hold Dak Prescott to 220-something
yards. Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott played an efficient game, but he didn't have to do much, and the Giants did a good job. I thought defensively, I don't know how much more you could have asked of the Giants. Now, they did have the benefit of the offense, you know, going on some long drives and taking up, you know, damn near the entire second quarter. So they did do what they needed to do that way, where I felt it was important to keep the Cowboys off the field.
Right.
But considering as we went into it, we knew the injuries in Phillips and Adoree Jackson.
As we talked about,
you know, heading into the game, how important those injuries were going to be to play the way they played, and to really only limit the one big explosive play on the 66-yard touchdown to Lamb, and give it up only 20 points. The defense did what it had to do.
Yeah, but the offense couldn't punch the ball in once.
Not once.
Not once. This is a problem. This is going to be a problem the whole year.
Yeah, well, I mean, not really.
How are they going to win? You can't win with
They're not going to.
No.
They're not going to. And it's going to quickly not become a problem.
Daniel Jones?
What about Daniel Jones?
You think they will move off of him next year?
Yes. I do. They tried to this year. I don't know what kind of position they're going to be in right now, but I think you could still see him move off him midseason. Now, he hasn't played poorly enough to justify that, but again, it's brass tacks. It's a cap sport, and he ain't worth the risk of being locked into an injury. And he gets injured every year, and they're not going to win. So what's the point? You might get to that. I don't know. These NFL teams don't look at it like that. Brian Daboll's trying to win games. Joe Shane's trying to win games to justify what he's trying to do here. So maybe they do stick with Daniel. But I'm telling you right now, worst case scenario is he has a season-ending injury and they're stuck on the books with him for next year. I mean, that's just a disaster. Depending on what the injury is, because not only, he played well, so he comes back next year, he's pretty good, he played well. Now he's coming off another season-ending injury. Like, how many do you get? I mean, I don't know. And he hasn't even gotten hurt yet, so it's an unfair thing. But I would look to protect against it if it looks like they're going to end up being, I mean, you're playing the Bengals. Like, you're playing Seattle. That has been a house of horrors for them, other than one game where the backup quarterback went in and beat them, and the defense had an incredible performance that day against Russell Wilson. But it's been a house of horrors for them. They're undefeated. We'll see what happens. They're 3-0 right now, playing pretty well. Geno Smith is picking people apart. Then you got to go play the Bengals, who right now are 0-3. But, I mean, do you expect them to – are they really that bad a team? And you got them in prime time. Then you go play the Eagles, and we know what happens there. And then you get the Steelers, who are undefeated and whose defense is ferocious, before getting the Commanders, who you lost to before Daniels really even found himself. So, I mean, you're talking about a very, Seahawks on the road, very difficult game. The Bengals fighting for their season, very difficult game. The Eagles, who know you inside and out, the return of Saquon Barkley coming into MetLife Stadium, and the Eagles are just flat out better. Very difficult game. On the road in Pittsburgh against that defense and that head coach, very difficult game to win. Home against the Commanders and what we just saw from Jaden Daniels, and you've already lost to them. Not an easy game to win. Before going to Carolina and with Andy Dalton, I don't know if that's an easy game to win. But let's just say that's where the gauntlet stops. At Seattle, against the Bengals, against the Eagles, at Pittsburgh, home against the Commanders. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of those games do you think the Giants are going to win? They're 1-3. Let's say they go 2-3. Let's just go 2-3 for those 5 games. They're 3-6. 3-6. Over. Over. 888-808-1019. Let's do one break. Call for the break. Val, what's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, man? How you doing this morning, Dunn?
Good. How are you, brother?
I'm all right. Four things really, really quickly, man. I didn't call you the last couple of nights because you were saying the same things I felt. But now the fait accompli is complete.
Yes.
It's been done. We are the division series winner. Or rather, the division winner. Yeah. We got the division series coming at some point later on. But, you know, four things really quickly. I felt good about, for all those who said that, you know, it was against the A's. You know, he went out and he did some stuff today, and it was against the Orioles.
Yep.
Cole looked phenomenal.
He looked great.
Cole looked phenomenal.
Yep.
Point two, the nice thing that I heard from the from listening to the broadcast and the postgame, Judge was telling you, he was talking to Susan, and they're going through, like, the postgame and the champagne and stuff like that, and thinking it was like the last one that we had when we actually just clinched. And you could hear the bottles packing up. And she's looking at him like, yo, what's going on? And he's like, yo, they packing it up already. I don't know if it was the fan reaction from the last time or the fact that they actually just get it right now. They had their little celebration,
well, yeah,
but it
was cut short real quick.
And it's like, we got business to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's get back to it. So I like how they handled that part. Part number three, okay, that Verdugo thing you were talking about, you said something either yesterday or the day before that, and I think it was really the competition at this point, because if you listen to, well, you might not have heard it because you were watching the game, but if you listen to Boone before the game, he's pretty much feeling the same way that we all do about Dominguez as far as that high ceiling. So I think Verdugo at this point is really just competing to for that last spot if it's between him and Grisham. And it seems like if you can count on him to come in at some point and maybe give you a little pop off the bench or something like that, that's what he's justifying right now. And power to him. Let's get that done.
Yeah, I thank you for calling that. I don't know about that. Boone talked about in the pregame how difficult it is and how much he weighs the decision on who plays left field every night. Like, he wants to let it play out. And right now, I would think Verdugo is going to start the next game. Off that home run, and now it's been two for Dominguez. Now, again, against tougher competition. I mean, that was one of the better pitchers in baseball last night in Burns. And I think they do get Skeens. I just don't know if it's I don't think it's tonight. I think it's Saturday. But I would think Verdugo gets this next game off that home run to see what happens. And let's be fair, just the difference in the defense, if the hitting is even close. And right now, it's not like Dominguez has really established himself as, you know, has he been better offensively? Absolutely. Without question, he's been better offensively. I'm not saying he hasn't been. But has he been the player we all hoped he would be coming up here offensively? Not really. But for me, he still provides enough where I'd rather see it, because I want as much offense as I can get in these postseasons, because that's why they lose. And then the point about the celebration, I did not get to see the celebration that much. I turned right to the Giant game. I wanted to save it for when I had a chance to actually watch it and enjoy it, and I couldn't justify watching that over watching the Giant game. So I'll wait for it, but when it happened, I said to Marco, me and Marco had a discussion about it. I was like, oh, I don't know. Do you even really celebrate then? Go crazy, champagne, goggles, the whole bit. If you win the division, to me, it was you pick one. Especially when you're up in the division by four games or whatever it was when they were out in Seattle. Like, you knew they were going to win the division. Do you just say, hey, we're going to, when we clinch a playoff spot, we're celebrating? Or do you wait for the division and have a small little, like, I think the Phillies or someone had like a toast. Just like a nice little toast. The champagne bottles weren't there. It was just like, you know, one guy just opened up a bottle of champagne and poured it out into glasses for everybody. Nice little toast, making the playoffs, but you wait for the celebration to win your division. I have no problem with their decision to go as soon as they make the playoffs. I had no problem with that. I was all about the celebrating, and I really have no problem with last night. But I'm not surprised to hear that it was a little bit more tame, because they just had one. They had a 4-5 game lead in the division when they had that celebration. This was kind of already known when that happened. So yes, definitely enjoy it, celebrate it, but should it be a little subdued? Absolutely. I think it's warranted. They already had the big celebration when they made the playoffs. I didn't even really think they would have or should have had another one. I thought this one should have been more real tame. But hey, enjoy it. They've earned it. And that's really my message to Yankee fans who are just so freaking pessimistic. I can't tell you how many people, every time I put up a tweet or something, it's immediately met with, oh, they'll blow it in the playoffs. Stan, big home run, getting ready for the playoffs. Yeah, okay, did you see the swing before? Like, the negativity from this Yankee fan base, drives me up a wall. I don't get it. I don't know what we're so angry about. I know they haven't won in a while. I get it. But can we have some enthusiasm heading into this thing? Would it be too much to be excited about this division-winning number one overall best record in the American League team? Is that crazy? Like, even if you end up being right and they fall on their face and lose a playoff series, this is the moment to get behind them and be excited. Because there is no, like, you can make, the only case you can make is that we've seen it before and I believe we'll see it again. Like, that's the only thing. That's the only thing. You can't make a real case right now about how this team is better and that team is better and this team, other than, you know, just relying on the, well, if they see the Astros are proven in the postseason. Like, that's the only argument you have. Other than I've seen the Yankees fail and they'll fail again. That's it. That's the only argument you have. I'm tired of it. Let's see what happens. But get excited. Get excited. Because they're the best team in the American League. And it's go time. And the season starts on Saturday. Like I told you, next Saturday. The season starts next Saturday. It was over. The division was over. Everybody worried about those stupid games the other night. They're throwing Marcus Stroman out there. Look what happened when they pitched pitchers who were actually going to pitch in the postseason for the Yankees.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 3:39 on a football Friday. We're so focused on the Giants and last night's disappointing loss to the Cowboys when they were right there, had an absolute chance to win that game. Drop passes, scared coaching, scared offense. Cost the Giants an opportunity to make a statement against the Cowboys team that they haven't beaten forever. But we will get to picks as well on this football Friday. We've been talking a lot about the Yankees in the last 20 minutes or so. As they clinched the division last night, get ready for the postseason. They are American League East champions. They will be the number one overall seed with the best record, awaiting most likely Baltimore or Detroit, whoever wins that series. And then we got the Mets, who will open up a three-game set this weekend out in Milwaukee, trying to make Monday irrelevant. But I got to tell you, and this is where, like, I try to be honest and say that I root for the Mets. And I want the Mets to be a playoff team. I do. And I'm rooting for the Mets. People think that's I'm lying or I don't really believe it. I honestly hope the Mets make the playoffs. I'll be rooting for them. But I got to be fair. I want Monday. Just as a baseball fan, more than a Met fan, I'm a Yankee fan. I will root for the Mets. But somewhere in between there, I'm probably more of a baseball fan than I am a Mets fan. I want those games. I might even have to come in. Me and Evan were talking about it. I might have to come in and forego sleep and be here for the watch party Monday because listening to it might not be good enough. I might have to actually watch Evan squirm through those games while trying to host the show talking about the Jets. Like, I just might have to be here. I'm told they're bringing food, so make your jokes now. Laugh to yourself in your car. So I might have to be part of this watch party on Monday, but I want those games. But the Mets are going to try and see if they can figure out a way. I guess Manaea and To Be Determined will be the pitching matchups for this series. Milwaukee's already talked about not really extending any pitchers. Why would they? They have nothing to gain. They're getting ready for the playoffs as the National League Central Division champs. And we talked about some of the different things, and I find it all fascinating. All the different elements you needed to give teams a reason to play. And it's funny, it doesn't look like it's playing out in a favor for the New York Mets as of right now, where the Los Angeles Dodgers have won the division, so there's really nothing left for the Padres to play for. They're going to be the first wild card. So as Arizona will head into San Diego this weekend. They really are the only ones with anything to play for, trying to save their lives while the Padres have nothing to play for. And then Atlanta going to play Kansas City. With the way Minnesota's just completely collapsed, it feels like they're really only playing for seeding, possibly, where they're probably going to be a wild card team. So what you were hoping for, to give the teams, the Braves and the Padres were playing, a little bit of reason to play hard, it doesn't feel like they're going to get that. But it doesn't matter. Take care of business in Milwaukee and put yourself in the best position possible to head into Atlanta. Playing well with a two-game lead. That's what you're looking for. Figure out a way to pick up a game and head into Atlanta only needing one. I think that should probably be the goal. Head into Atlanta not needing both. But as much as I am rooting for the Mets and I want to see them in a postseason, I want to see this thing continue. I want to continue to be able to talk about them and have them part of the conversation for selfish reasons. I do want Monday. I want it bad. 888-808-1019. Pennant race baseball is fun, even after you catch it. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's happening, man?
Nothing much.
First of all, on your G-men, our G-men.
Yes.
You know, you keep on going back to the Daniel Jones, and now you're creeping up Dable's back about. But in reality, if Barkley was here, the Giants would probably be 3-1, right? Seven-point swing?
No. Saquon Barkley is a seven-point swing? No, he's not.
He doesn't add 7 points to your offense?
No, I don't think he had seven, no.
Amazing how you think, but my problem with
he's 7 points better? I don't know about that. What makes you think he's 7 points better?
I think he brings at least a one touchdown to the offense per game.
Every other running back? Yeah, how many points did they score when he was here? They're averaging more points now than they did last year.
And you go back to the play calling. You don't see how many times they target the tight end.
One.
Okay,
that's a problem.
How many times they have any power running game as the Giants are known for? You got any? You have anybody that's a dog that can knock 3 yards at any time that they want it?
No, no. But again, when did they have that?
Does he coach like a Giant coach, like you're supposed to be? Where's the blitzing? Every third down with the Cowboys, I didn't see no Giants, old school Giants, man. They're coming blitz. They're coming old school.
Well, it doesn't have to be old school. It's completely different. Yeah, it's a different world. Does Kansas City play like the old Kansas City Chiefs played? Like, who cares?
Different story.
Why is it a different story?
Don't pick the best quarterback and put the whole league around him.
Whoever else. I don't know. Pick another team. There's a million of them. Who cares?
Yeah, teams play with identities. Yeah, that's right. They have identities.
They have their own identities, not the 86 version of their identity.
And the Giants don't have a defensive front identity. They don't have a power running game identity. And they don't have a tight end identity.
Right.
And until they get those three, they're going to be where you say they are.
Well, I don't have to say where they are. They are where they are.
Going on Dable. When are you going to start saying Dable's going to go? The only one you're going to say
on Dable.
Right?
I've been screaming all morning. He coached scared. I've been getting on him. What do you want me to tell
you? Getting on him.
What should I say? I got to call for his job? What do you want me to do?
No, I didn't say call for his job. After first Barkley, then Jones, now Dable, week three, week four. Who's next? I want to know who's next. Who are you blaming next?
I don't know, but you see, when you go down this line of questioning like that, you are indicating that you know who really is to blame, and I'm wasting my time, so alert me. Who's to blame?
For me, it's Dable to blame.
All right, well, then what are we talking about?
But you got four other people. You got four other people.
Yeah, I got a lot of people. I got a lot of people to blame for 1-3 and a disaster for the last 8 years. I got a lot. It's more than just him. We can go to the owner, too. Like, I don't know what you want, Eddie. Like I'm sorry. That's such BS what you just said, and I'm tired of hearing it. Like they need, because Mark Bavaro is a big time Giant hero, and because you know the defense in the 80s got they have to get after the quarterback. That's every defense known to man. Of course, you have to get after the quarterback. You don't have to tell me about the 86 Giants to tell me to get after the quarterback. and the power run game, and then you say Saquon Barkley. When did Saquon Barkley help this team score 7 more points than they're scoring right now? Can I ask you that? Because last year they didn't score any points either. They haven't scored points Barkley's entire career. 7 points. He's good for 7 points. You think Barkley's a 7-point swing? You think if he was playing for the Giants yesterday, they're a 2.5-point favorite in this game? You think the spread swings 7 points because of Saquon Barkley? Come on now. Stop. He would have helped in this game. Of course, he's a good player. He's a great player. He would have had a run better than, he would have had a more dynamic run than 5 yards. He would have impacted the run game. I'm not saying he didn't. But 7, and he's not here. And it was best because you know what? He wouldn't have been winning. You think they'd be winning right now? You think that's the difference? It's not. It's really not. They'd be better, sure. They wouldn't be winning. And they wouldn't be a good football team here. Like, yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around, but please stop, okay? They don't need Mark Bavaro and, you know, Otis Anderson. Stop. That's not what they're missing here. Do they need an identity? Yes, that I agree with. It can be anything. The Rams that had the greatest show on turf identity. Kansas City has its identity. The Ravens has the running game identity. Like, you know, should, or at least should. Every team has their identity. Sean McVay, the offensive guru, is the Rams' identity. Getting wide receivers to come out of nowhere, that's their identity. Every team has an identity, and I agree the Giants kind of don't have one and could use one, but it doesn't have to be the one you prefer because you like growing up watching the 80s Giants. Stop. It could be anything. I mean, any of those would work. I'm fine with it. You want to get Lawrence Taylor and Mark Bavaro back? I'm in. I'm more than happy to get that linebacking core and blitz the hell out of everybody and have the greatest defensive player in history back on the team. I'm in. And call that the identity. I'm in. You're going to get on the defense in this game? Listen, could they have gotten off the field a couple times more and given their offense a little bit more of the possession? But, I mean, like you look at it, they gave up 20 points. They won the possession battle 35 to 24. You could argue 36 to 24, if you were rounding up. So like they almost doubled them in time of possession. They only allowed 20 points. I have a hard time just killing the defense. They gave up 2 touchdowns. I thought it was going to be far worse. I thought Dak was going to come into that building and light it up. I mean, the defense wasn't perfect, but they gave up 20 points to the Cowboys. You got to win that game. When you're playing in the NFL today, you give up 20 points, you got to win that game. Plain and simple. This is much more about the offense for me than the defense. I thought the defense played relatively well. The defensive front wasn't great. I would have, if you would have told me that they would have outrushed the Giants, that would have been a major surprise, and it was. They outrushed the Giants. And Dexter Lawrence kind of had a quiet game. And Burns had one memorable tackle for loss and a little bit of pressure, and Thibodeau had the one pressure that led to an errant throw for getting the Cowboys off the field or to kick a field goal. I mean, they got a little bit of pressure. The defense wasn't great by any means, but they gave up 20 points. And part of that was the Giants kept the football. I agree, but they got to get in the end zone. And yeah, it's on the coach. I don't know if it's on the play call. The play calling actually looked pretty good to me. They were getting receivers open. He was getting Daniel Jones to complete. At one point, he was like, he had 2 incompletions. So I thought the play calling at times was good, but I do agree that the play calling lacked the deep threat and lacked trying to get explosive plays. And Daniel Jones had 3 different opportunities to make explosive plays and had 3 horrendous throws. He underthrew Slayton for a touchdown. You can't do that in this league. You have a free play, no less. Free play and Slayton running down the sideline for a touchdown. He missed him. He underthrew it terribly. That can't happen. So do I blame Daniel Jones, even though he played relatively well? Yes. Do I blame the coach for never taking chances with him and never throwing it into the end zone and never going for it on fourth down? Yes, I do. Do I blame the GM for the talent on this team? Yes, I do. Do I blame the owner for never hiring the right people, seemingly? Yes, I do. They're all to blame for what has been as bad an era in Giants football. You want to talk about the harking back to the old days? Right now, they're harking back to the 70s. And I don't know where George Young is. But right now, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. And this one's even more frustrating because, you know what? To give Joe Shane a benefit of the doubt for a second, I don't think the Cowboys are that much better than the Giants, if at all. Last year, it was clear who the better team was. You watched last night's game? I don't think the Cowboys distinguished themselves over the Giants. I don't think you come away saying, hey, what are you going to do? The Cowboys are the Cowboys. Giants had that game. Giants should have won that game. And if you want to view that as a step in the right direction, God bless. The idea that they should have won the Washington game and lost and should have won the Cowboy game and lost doesn't make me feel any better about it. It makes me feel worse. Because even when they do the right things, they can't win. And now they're about to embark on a schedule where I'm not sure they are better than the teams they're about to play. I don't know or think they are better than Seattle. I don't know or think they are better. Now, the Bengals' defense is atrocious, but I don't know if they are better than the Bengals. I certainly don't know if they're better than the Eagles. I don't know if they're better than the Steelers. And they've already lost to the Commanders. They had an opportunity the last, you know, three. They could have won the last three games in a row. And instead, they're 1-3, staring another dead season right in the mouth. And it's very tough to take.